about 3 months, he drove in, and in the fall, he drove in, came into the house, and said, "Mr. McGowan, I'm afraid of that coat. My daughter is too. Why, she says that coat won't hurt anybody. She's just a nice, gentle pony." "Well," he said, "what did you give me for?" "Well," my mother said, "we got 4 or 5 horses. We don't need her." She says, I want to buy her." "Well," he said, I'll give her back to you." "Well," she said, "if that's the way you feel, why, okay. You make out that agreement on paper or something, and she'll be, we'll own her again." "Well," my mother said, "Harold's got to get up there, some way to get her." She says, "I'll take him up." I found her in the office, mess you ever heard of. They hadn't seen the box stall since they took her, and I guess they hadn't given her much of any water, and she was thin. Well, I hitched her up on the same gig, and I drove her back 25 miles. It took me quite a while, so it wasn't too strong. I got her all fixed up and cleaned up. Got some meat on her. What I mean by meat, I got some fats and food into her. And my mother sold her to Uncle James. And he's a little bit hard on him. She was a frail pony. She never should work in a team. He put her in a team drawn butter. Asking too much of her. She slipped and put 2 bone spavins on her, and that was that.
Did you find that many of your neighbors took good care of their horses?
Yeah, the most of them, but there was a gang up there in Belmont that didn't.
What were their names?
Old Man Crom. He had used too much whip, not no grain much. Go down with buy our place with a 3/4 of a cord of wood on. He'd buy it all in whiskey down Malone. I'd be out around the horse barn. I'd hear somebody come singing. Horses just moving. He was on his knees in that old sled, old France Crom. He got himself loaded with booze. I guess he had some flour, not much of any grain.
How about the man your father lent the harness to just before he died?
No, my mother did.
Your mother lent it?
After my father. Yeah, my father had a brand new harness up in there. He kept it up in the clothes press, but up in the attic, and he had it covered with a white sheet. It was a black harness with shiny rings lined with babiche. And these neighbors, my father had never put it on a horse. He liked that harness. The neighbors come over and said to my mother, "Didn't Fred get a brand new harness?" She said, "Yes." But she says he never used it. He had a barn full of harnesses. And he was going to use that on some special horse on some special occasion. Well, they said, "We've got it. Couple of horses to show at the fair, and he was wondering if we could borrow it." Well, she kind of looked down the floor and she said, "If Fred was here," that's my father, she said, "I don't know if he'd loan that or not. He might." "Well," she said, "take it along." So she went up in the attic and got it, and we had to go after the harness after the fair. It was all perspiration and sweat, and it was down behind their horses laying in the filth, a brand new harness.
Mm-hmm.
quite an argument over that, and the mother got awful too. But they got over it.
What do
people
and the children in the neighborhood do on Halloween?
Tell several. Oh, my goodness. You want to go from the horse business to that Halloween business?
Yeah, we've been talking about what you boys did. It's a little bit of recreation. Now I want to go to Halloween.
Well, I can tell you one more. Ralph and I, of course, I had a barn full of hay, and there was a hay fort track in that barn up here, that Hip Roof barn. We had a hired man. He'd worked for my father 7 years. He was like one of the family. Well, Jim Doherty.
Yeah.
Ralph said to me, let's go up in the horse barn. And we'd climb upon the hay and get upon the track, and there was a cubalow on top of that barn with Venetian blinds in it. We could see him, but he couldn't see us. So we went and robbed the hen's nest. We went up in there with a dozen of eggs, and there was four or five of them, good decayed and rot. Ralph was he could sew an egg the straightest of any animal. Them days. He wouldn't like to have me tell them. Out come the hired man out of the house, start doing chores. Ralph took him right in the neck right there, one of them rotten eggs, just like that. Well, say, shirt all yellow, and he looked all around. Ralph was a great hand to laugh, but I was the other way. I didn't seem to want to laugh, but I got a kick out of it. Well, he went back in the house and got cleaned up, and just as he was going in the cow barn door to do the chores, he got another one right back of the neck. Another one. That was the recreation we had for the hard man.
Now tell about Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Halloween.
There was two Manson boys, Freddie and Willis, and a brother and I.
That's Ralph.
Ralph lives right over here in Milwaukee. So, a nice moonlight night, balmy. You could leave the windows open, the curtains blow back and forth. Well, my brother married this man's daughter, Manila. He lived next door to us, Nick's farm. So, he had a lot of sheep out back of the barn. And one black one, pure black. Well, Willis Manson couldn't stop laughing, and Freddie couldn't, and Ralph was laughing with him. I didn't laugh till it was over after I got home. I put them guys in the ditch beside the mailbox, and I warned them not to laugh, and I went out behind the barn, threw out behind one of them barns, and I picked up that black sheep. Well, he was about half grown, and I carried him from behind the barn up onto the porch and tied him to the doorknob. Everybody was to bed in Manila's house. So I tied him just up so his feet wouldn't touch the floor, but he knocked on the door with his knees. That. And the dog in the kitchen, I thought he'd tear the house down. Well, pretty soon, no electric lights them days. Pretty soon I see a man light a match. Right, I got down off the porch and Buck's still. The man says, yep, be right down. Oh, the dog barked. Them three fellows in the ditch over there, they started to giggle, and I went over there fast and said, shut up, he's coming. So, back again. Well, he lit all the matches he had on the dresser, and the lamp went out every time. Because of just enough breeze to blow the lamp out. He said to his wife, have we got any more matches up here? She said, I guess you have to go downstairs to see who that is. You'll get some matches. That again. So down he come. He went to the parlor door and looked out to see what was going on. The sheet was tied to the other doorknob, the kitchen door. I suppose he went back to bed, but I had time to go and get the sheep, take them out behind the barn, and then go lay in the ditch with the other horse. I just had time to do it. The dog, he calmed down, but all this time, this farmer was dressing. For those days, plainly speaking, there wasn't any restrooms in the house. It was outside. Now, we supposed, of course, that he wasn't coming downstairs. So we went and tipped that over, bottom side up. And just as that toilet went over off the ground, there was a man there with a spray thing that you spray cows with for the flies. And I got it right in the back of the neck. All that spray stuff, it was the man that owned the sheep. Well, I started right across that plowed field over there. He was a fussy man. I could run a gallon's eyesight faster than he could. And I see he was coming right along with that spray thing. So I laid right down the side of a stone wall, and he went right by me, and I got up and went the other way where the boys was. That was that.
Now, how about the spring across the road?
Oh, and then we went over to Clay Weskis, and he was separating his milk. And he's a comical man, too, full of fun. He said, "What are you fellows up for tonight?" That's the way he talked. "Oh, not much of anything. We had just had a seance over the Manelis, but we didn't tell him." He said, "Say, you know, Julius Nicklaw and Liza Steenbart work here. They live out in the swamp. An awful trick to do, you'd be arrested now." He says, "Go up on the, go up there in the barn, here's a flashlight, and get that trip rope on that off and go over there in the woods and trip them up." Well, I never think of such a thing now.
How old is this man, folks?
Clay?
Yeah.
Oh, old middle-aged man. Didn't have any gray hair. He said, "I got to finish up separating this milk." Separated, turned by hand. And said, "I'd go with you." He didn't have no notion of going. Well, we got the trip rope anyway, but that size. Went out in the swamp. Of course, we could see them two people coming, and they were quite old. It was awful. But I think of it now. Locked arms, Julius Nicklaw and Liza Seabright. He was a man with long, curly, white hair, and she was so cussed, cross-eyed, that you couldn't tell who she's looking at. Well, this laughing Manson, he was in one side of the road and I was in the other. We pulled that rope tight and they went down on their knees to come back in that frozen road. I let go of the rope and he pulled it across. And she started feeling around that road and I was right there in the ditch. And this is what she said, it's not very good. She said, "If I get a hold of some of a bitch that tripped us up, I'll kill him." And she went right past my face with her hand. They were old people, too. It was too bad. We took the rope back to Clayton and said, "You don't want any more of that stuff." Nowadays, they have the pole, for sure.
There were quite a few of those characters, old people, eccentric.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about the guy in the bananas? The old guy.
Oh, I never knew him. He was old David Smith?
Yeah.
Well, he lived in a log cabin right between... he was a tall man with a white goatee on his chin. He looked like some dignified man. I never seen him.
Mother told you.
But I seen the cabin. Because I used to drive by it with my mother. It only had four or five little windows about that size and just an old door with a chain on it to lock it. Well, anyway, he called my father, Red Fox McGill, father of Red Fox. And he called my grandfather McGill that I knew the best, the Mohawk Indian, because my grandfather was tan, tall and long arms. He called him the Mohawk Indian. And he called my mother Fabulous Blossom. And he called, warned Dickie that lived down the hill. He said, here comes Dickie in his white apron. And he had a name for for Julius Nicklaw and Liza.
What was that?
Just a white apron. Here comes Nicklaw and his white apron. Well,
now he went around catching rides and bumming dinners, didn't he?
George Mahan come along, the blacksmith, lived up in there somewhere, and Mr. Smith was hitching up a little bay horse in the yard. Mahan said ho to his horse and stopped. And he said to Mr. Smith, where are you going today, Mr. Smith? Smith never answered. He was about that much taller than the horse. And so Mahan said, where are you going today, Mr. Smith? And he didn't answer. This is what my mother told me. So the third time Mahan said that, Smith said, where am I going? He said, yeah, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Malone, I'm doing Bert, and I should be in Chattagay. Mahan drove along.
He had a spring, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He had a spring down his back lot. He had four or five cows, I guess. He said, it's warm on one side and refreshing on the other. The spring was warm on one side. It was a boiling spring. Cement all around. Cemented. Beautiful cold water, but it was warm on one side and refreshing on the other. Well, there was another time that he wanted to go to Malone and he didn't want to drive his own horse, but he rode down with my grandfather. My grandfather had some grain on and he was going to get the horses shod down to Murphy's or Monroe's. Some of them blacksmiths there are mills. I remember old Murphy, Monahan, Talon, Fallon, another place. Well, anyway, he said, I rode down with McGowan, he said, and I stopped to Dan Clark's meat market. Martin Tracy was the meat cutter, and he gave me some rotten bananas. He said, decayed bananas. He said, I ate a lot of them. And he said, on the way home, McGowan got impatient and couldn't wait. And he said, I had to go in my trousers. And he said it in a different way.
I'll say it
when he said. Well, he said, I said, eating rotten bananas. So, sure enough, the neighbor boys heard about it.
Your father was one of them.
My father was one of them. When that Grant got home, he told the neighbor boys, and of course they wanted fun. And after they got the chores done and supper over with, over to Davy's they went to see what he was doing with his trousers. So one would rap on the door and he'd say, just a minute. The other would look in the window. Then when they change off, one looking in the door, in the window, and the other one, rap. He kept saying, just a minute. Well, he was in there with leather boots on and his ear lappers down with a wisp of hay cleaning out the britches. That's what he was doing. That's the truth. That's old David Smith. dead years and years ago. He got those rotten bananas and said McGowan got impatient and couldn't wait. And then, some days he'd start out afoot and he'd come to a neighbor's house and they'd say, he'd plan it about noon, you know. You been to dinner, Davy? No, guess not. Well, they said, come on in. He said, I might go in and have a slight nibble with you. Well, he'd stay a little while and go along to the next one. Walking slow, I suppose. He'd say, been to dinner, Davy? Or supper, or whatever it is. Well, I might go in and have a slight nibble, and he wouldn't eat any more to eat for a week after he'd make that trip. Everybody invited him in. I never seen the man, but I seen his old house. Constance.
Now we'll talk about work. What time did you have to get up in the morning?
4:30. You eat breakfast 6:00.
What was the first work you had to do in the morning, the very first after you got dressed?
I got the barn and feed the horses. I went to the horse barn first. Feed the horses and from there to the cowman.
How much would you feed the horses?
Well, in spring's work, they got 12 quarts a day, each horse, oats, barley.
How long was spring's work?
Oh, maybe 2-3 weeks, a couple weeks.
And during the regular year, how much would they be fed?
Well, we never turned them out to grass. We might cut a little grass for them, the bells. The horse on grass is too soft and they slipped it.
How much did you feed them in the barn, like during the regular year?
Oh, we fed them hay twice a day and grain 3 times and then we raised a lot of carrots. We give them 4 quarts of carrots on Sunday at noon. Not give them any grain. Carrots. Good for the carrots is good for horses. They'll feed them raw potatoes on Sunday. They'll feed them corn on the cob. It puts the lampers up, you see. Put the ears of corn right in the manger, let them get the corn off, and that would push the lampers up while they were red. That's when they wasn't working hard. Oh, I hired lots of time, 3 horses. 3 horses.
Your father, was he a pretty good veterinarian, in an amateur sort of way?
Yes, he sure was. Parts of his distemper and pneumonia would all bring that. He used to lance that. That's that pus out of him when he had distemper.
What would he do for, what were the different diseases of the legs?
Some he couldn't. Launch band, serpents, scratches, ringbones, it'll rot away. You can slow it up and stop it. That ringbone right up on the hairline.
What medicine did he have in his cabin?
Mostly for colds. Mm-hmm. And tonics.
What a name.
Well, Dr. Hess's. Dr. Hess. Dr. Hess. That and carrots and raw potatoes and all that stuff. Grand mashes.
Who was the best around the horses? Your father or your grandfather?
Well, Andrew was too. Well, I don't know what I can tell you.
Was your father and your grandfather better around horses or around cows?
Well, they had a good dairy. They always had. had beautiful horses.
What was your father's ideas about taking care of horses? How did he was the envy of the neighborhood. But some men, what way the horse had
Yes, he would get a poor horse in 3 months. He wouldn't know the horse, he gained some.
Was he proud of his horses?
Yeah. He didn't speak out loud. I rode him.
Wasn't there a man once that slipped around the mangers?
Yeah, old Abe Boy saw he'd go and smell the mangers, looking for antimony from the father's horses and games.
What's antimony?
Antimony is dope, fatten them up clean.
Is it a feed or is it a liquid?
No, it's a liquid.
Where'd you get it?
Huh?
Where'd you get it?
Oh, at the drugstore. I don't suppose you get it now. So this man was good friends with my father, but they weren't, because my father took him by the nape of the neck, kicked his hind leg through the road. Boys didn't come back anymore. I guess he did. I don't know.
Did you feed the cows after breakfast or before?
No, you can't feed the cows and then milk them those days because they wiggle too much and they're eating and it's hard to milk. So we'd milk first and then feed them before we went to breakfast.
You'd milk the cows in the morning?
Yes, at night. We'd be eating breakfast at 6 o'clock in the morning, everything else.
How long did it take you to milk the cows?
It all depends on how many you milk. We're milking 25 down there.
How many did you have altogether?
4 or 5 head of young stuff.
And 1 bull. Breed all the cows at the same time?
No, you can switch them. You can switch them so they'll come in November, October, November, December. A cow will give more milk when she's in the barn all winter than she will when she freshens in March. She has to go out and fight flies all summer. In the barn, she's so comfortable laying on straw about that deep, all of them. That's the time they make milk when they lay down, chew their cud. We fed them a bushel of inches in the morning out of the silo, inches, with 4 quarts of grain on each bushel. Kelfy grain. We bought it at Fred Johnson. At 10 o'clock, we fed them a feed of hay, clover and timber. Then we didn't feed them at noontime at all. Let them rest. Let them lay down. Then at 4 o'clock, we'd give them another feed of hay. We make them clean it up, you know. They have to eat it clean. If they breed on it, they won't eat it. In the morning, you could put 10 slices of bread in front of it and think you could get away with them. And then we'd milk after we'd give them that hay. They have to milk at the same time, night and morning.
What time?
You see, we'd be milking at 5 o'clock in the morning and we'd milk at 5 o'clock at night. Then when we get done milking, we'd give them another bushel of corn, each one, and 4 quarts of milk. And before we finished up entirely, they had their instincts on. We throw them in some straw for them to fuss with. Might be a little clover in the straw. And then in the morning we take what straw they left, we take it all out and throw it underneath it like that. Then push it in the gutter and draw it out to feed. Then we'll feed no straw. There's no nourishment from straw when the grain's thrashed off. Might as well feed them sticks.
You clean the stalls every morning? Manure out?
Oh, twice a day.
Where'd you put the manure?
I had a manure carrier out back of the barn, draw it out in the field and spread it. Well, there's any manure around the barn.
Did you have a carriage in the barn to get it out?
Yeah, a manure carrier. But not like the ones we got now.
What was this one?
It was a big cable that ran the full length of the cow barn with a bucket on it, wheels. And it went right out to that wagon or sled that was up there. Open the door and push it in.
Did you
And when it hit that, when it hit a certain part in that, it would trip and knock itself.
How often, how many times a year did you spread the field?
All winter.
Even when there was snow down?
No.
No, you spread the manure, snow would fall on top of it and spread it again?
Yeah.
Every week?
Every day?
Every day you spread the field.
Oh.
Who did that?
No, I did. Going around.
How many horses are there?
Well, there wasn't any horses on it. We pushed it by hand out to the wagon.
And how many horses drew the wagon?
Oh, two.
Yeah.
Two. Two. Every day they went out in the field with that number.
So you never had a pile?
No. That manure went farther. What's the use of piling it up beside the barn? Let the juice all go down in the stone near the barn, and then it dry out on top. No good, just like chips.
How many?
Get a lot of juice out of a gutter, you see, and straw. We'll raise hay, for heaven's sake, that high.
How many tons of hay
did
you store in the barn? 100.
Well, we had three barns. We didn't have a barn big enough to put 100 tons. But we cut that much. Make stacks up. One stack of yourself.
Protect that
from the rain? Just for the canvas over the top. Of course, the top wouldn't be any good for not that far down.
Well, the yard down?
Well, you see, you never sow oats on the same field every year. You never plant corn on the same field. You know where the corn should go, and you know where the oats should go. Well, then, I sowed grain with a drill, with phosphate, and grass seed, clover seed, all the same time in that drill with a pair of horses. If you want to seed that down to get hay, you have to raise the oats and the barley. And then you see after you got the grain off. See, you wouldn't cut the grain right down close with a reaper. You leave it up, leave the stubble up about that much. You look down in there, and that grass seed had all caught.
You leave the stubble about 6 inches high.
Yeah, so it protects the